Welcome back to Music's Journey Podcast, where you can hear more about the artist, the band, the lyrics, and music. I'm your host, Kim Sear, and before I jump into my interview with pop folk artist Oliver Charles, I'd like to go over a few things with you. If you enjoy today's show, please consider leaving us a rating and a review. The more positive the rating, the easier it is to find the show, and it really does help the community that we are trying to build here. So if you are someone who has recently found our podcast, welcome. We are really excited to have you here, so please make sure you subscribe and stay tuned to our future episodes. To everyone listening today, please take a screenshot and post this to your Instagram story and hashtag Music's Journey Podcast, Now and Then Magazine, and Oliver Charles. I'll feature you on a future podcast. So without further ado, here is my interview with pop folk artist Oliver Charles.
It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. You're listening to the Music's Journey Podcast, brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With your special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
I have a great show here for you today with a very special guest, a singer-songwriter that I have grown to absolutely adore. Pop folk artist Oliver Charles is here to talk about his new single out right now, and it's called Let Go of My Ghost. And it is such a special song. There's a really great story that goes to this. So welcome to the show, Oliver Charles.
Woohoo!
Woo.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, how about you?
I love the applause.
There's not as many in the studio as what there normally would be. So
I love it. I wish there was like one slow clap in there, just like a silent like every 2 seconds. It would be great.
But this is the COVID-friendly audience that you're getting right now. So.
That's perfect.
This has been such an incredible year. So many people have going through so much, but let's talk first, before we get into the single and everything, let's talk about, for you, when starting this, how old you were, how this whole journey began becoming a musician.
It was started when I was in high school and they pressured you into figuring out what you wanted to do for the rest of your life. And I had no clue what to answer. All I know is my father had played music when he was younger. He used to do clubs and make people dance on some Elvis Presley and whatnot. And he had let that go to go more into a, you know, corporate normal working lifestyle. And at one point he just went back to his guitar and I would hear him sing some Cat Stevens. And that's sort of how I just fell asleep. He would go on the patio with a little glass of wine and just serenade me without thinking that I was hearing. And I just fell in love with the whole concept of writing my own music, and that just became my identity. I was 14, 15, and I just picked it up and I said, I want to learn how to sing, I want to learn how to write and play piano and this and that. And then I went to school and graduated, and then it was just always something I had to do.
When was the first time you started playing an instrument?
It was one of those little I don't know if you remember these or if you've ever seen one, but you know those little keyboards that were like smaller versions of a real piano, and the notes would light up red, and that's how they would teach you how to learn like a song. You would have to like sort of mimic whatever the red notes tell you to play. And so I was maybe 10 or 12 when I got that at a Christmas gift meant as a toy, and then I just really, really dived into it and played Mozart just to try and learn what he would do on the piano. And like,
you played Mozart?
Yeah, but like I'm making it sound like it's cool, but I was really, really just waiting for that red light to pop up. And I'd be like,
hey, I got one.
Yeah, exactly. It was like a little video game happening right there. Yeah, I could have said I learned it on Guitar Hero. It would have been similar.
A little bit different, right?
Yeah.
How difficult has it been navigating, you know, the music industry, and you know how the pandemic has affected your creativity and your writing?
Well, I mean, there's two questions in one. I'd say, has it been difficult? Yes. The second that you decide to be a singer-songwriter, you decide to become an entrepreneur, because this is an era where you have the option of doing it the way you want to do it, more in an independent perspective, or there's still the way that you can get signed by a major label and try and get big exposure in that way, and to try and sort of navigate between industry and audience. It's sort of an awkward thing when you're young and you're just trying to play guitar, but you need to figure out how to make it a thing. And so it's difficult to, especially because I'm from the French-Canadian side of Canada, And I've always wanted to speak and write English. And so I had to navigate through Ontario as well and try and learn a lot. So it's a big one to tackle. It isn't just like a passion you pick up and you learn how to play piano and sing. You really have to take it as if it's, you know, something you have to thrive for as an entrepreneur. And it's definitely hard, but it's, if you love it, you just do it. It's part of your identity. Mm-hmm. Then your other question, sorry, there was a second one. The creativity.
Yeah.
During pandemic, actually, that was the positive side of pandemic, because you were allowed not to be on top of your game, because nobody was on top of their game, even the people that are meant to be on top of their game. Mm-hmm. So everything was about taking a step back and to doing what you want to do and not what you're supposed to do. And most of us creators, what we want to do is create. Mm-hmm. And to have that free space to being able to go back to writing music and just doing some artist development and whatnot. I picked up how to produce as well, and that was something new. I used to always work with producers for them to produce me, and now I've built the knowledge to produce on my own, and it's actually sort of been a blessing, to be honest.
Well, yeah, because I would think that when you're writing during this, I know a lot of artists that were so used to doing the grind and going mm-hmm. from producing their songs, going in, recording it, then going on the radio tour. And, you know, you're trying to write in between all that, but then you're playing the festivals and you're doing, you know, the different events that you're doing. And it's hard to, you know, you have a certain amount of time to write. And so it's more of a rushed process, where now, you know, going through all of this, the emotions run a lot deeper. And, you know, because you don't mm-hmm. have the busy life, you don't have the distractions. And when, you know, you're stuck in lockdown and going through that kind of stuff, it can really bring out some things that get buried within ourselves because you were so busy. We can turn around and, hey, you know what? Something's bugging you a little bit. Hey, I'm going to go for a car drive, or I'm going to go visit a friend. And we weren't able to do any of that. And so the writing takes on a different tone, or maybe songs that you've already written that you get to go back to and, you know, resurface just with things that you're going through during lockdown.
And to build on what you're saying, it's very interesting the way you're putting it out, but to build on what you're saying, you also have to be extremely self-aware to knowing when your self-reflection and time to think doesn't turn into dwelling and creating your own possible issues instead of tackling actual issues. Mm-hmm. And those can also play in your creativity, or just in your, I mean, creativity and being is very similar.
Yep.
Like when you are creative, then whatever you're living in your life is affecting your creativity. So you know, if there's a lot of demons hidden inside of you, then there's just a limit of how much Netflix that can take, that can keep you from dealing with that, you know?
Absolutely.
So no, there's definitely a lot, but you have to really do your best to focus on the positive, because then that's how you get trapped.
Yeah. And you hear a lot of the artists saying that's just hit a wall. Like, you know, a few people that we've interviewed in the last month, you know, people that are just so used to cranking the lyrics out and the songs out, but not just for themselves, but for other artists. And they just hit a wall because they just never had that kind of time. And they just didn't even know how to develop, because you're usually sitting down with somebody. So you get a feel of that person, you know, you get an idea of what they want to relate in their songs or what music they want to release that year, what the idea is. But then you got to sit there, you know, in your own thoughts, and then trying to do it over a stream is not the same thing. You know, if you're in writing sessions, in comparison to sitting in and feeling that chemistry with somebody in a writing session, you know, talk to us about that and what that's been like for you this past year in your writing process.
Yeah, I think I've my career has been a little bit more upside down. I've always aspired to be a singer-songwriter, and I was always intimidated to be in a room with somebody that knows how to write, because then I didn't want to be overpowered by their creativity only because I don't have the language to communicate mine. Mm-hmm. And so for the longest period of time, I didn't collaborate because I wanted to build my own talent and didn't build my own skills to being able to write. So I'd say a year before the pandemic, or 3 years ago, that's when I stopped doing demos to then present it to producers so that they can produce me. I started producing real tracks and then collaborating with producers that could co-write with me. And then I started co-writing with an artist in Toronto and produced his album, and then started co-writing in Paris. And then we made an album together. And that opened up a door for me, because there's no such thing as a blank page anymore, or like a white sheet of paper in front of me. It just doesn't exist, which it did before, because when you're on your own, you're completely at the mercy of your own creativity. You can't bounce off somebody else's idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for the last year, what was pleasant is that is I had the autonomy and the skills to being able to do it on my own, but I thrive when I collaborate and I get to choose and pick who I want to collaborate so that I know that it's going to balance what I'm lacking and whatnot. And that's an extremely fortunate thing to being able to have.
Yeah, that's really cool that you started doing the production, you know, for yourself, because you know what you're looking for. You know,
yeah,
the message that you want to put out there and the vision that you have. And that just goes to show how much you're growing, you know, in your creativity and artistry. So that's amazing, you know, to have that kind of silver lining throughout all of this. And that's cool. That's very cool.
It's a blessing, but it's a blessing in our generation, because like home studios wasn't a thing 20 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when it became a thing, then you had people like Avicii or Benny Blanco or even Billie Eilish right now, or like the more you got in through the decades, the people that listen to that new way of doing things from home now benefit from it, because you can have Billie Eilish who wins all the trophies and they did it from the living room, right?
Mm-hmm.
The negative is that studios slowly close down, but there's still opportunity for artists to be even more in control of their arts. And that's the beauty behind all of it.
Yeah. And there's no borders either.
No.
You know, today, you know, in comparison to what they were just, you know, 5 years ago, you know, or even 2 years ago, like, you know, not having borders allows independent artists like yourself, you know, to be able to express yourself in your music. And listeners, you know, that might be in Japan or Australia or the UK, you know, like you said, Paris and so many, like Russia, so many places now are so in tune with Canadian artists. And we've got such a great pool of artists. And, you know, talk about what difference it's been having no borders for you and your music.
Yeah, my big question mark, how is it possible that these people listen to my music are people from Germany and Brazil? It's just you launch it and then YouTube algorithm just went Brazil and Spotify algorithm just went Germany. And the majority, like the most streams come from these two places. And I'm like, it's a blessing, because you're like, it's beautiful to believe that there is music meant for someone out there, right? So it gives you hope that you are going to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you're sort of confused because it's unfamiliar and you don't know how to relate the people to the stat.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
And so there's a bit of that disconnect. So you really have to make an effort to being on social media to make sure that you don't drop the ball and you build a relationship with these people, right?
Yeah. Social media is like such a monster, you know, to be able to navigate. It's a full-time job.
Literally.
Yeah, literally. Getting up in the morning.
And you might not be born to being an entertainer of social media. You're literally born to do music. But you have to remember that it's part of the job, right?
Yeah, because it's not just about the talent anymore. You know, it's about the attention and being able to,
correct,
like you're talking about, is being able to relate, you know, socially, correct, to everyone, and taking that time, building one fan at a time. And, you know, it's a hard way to do it. It's the old fashioned way to do it. And it's the right way to do it, you know, in many aspects, right?
Yeah, if you want to be defeatist or if you want to be optimistic, there's always two parts. The optimistic is, there's officially nobody that can't do it, in a sense that the opportunities are available to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
The negative is, because there's opportunity available to anyone, you're not just, and I'm saying competing with the utmost grain of salt, but let's say, let's use it because I have no other word, but you're competing against the attention of a dog or somebody that slipped and fell and it was funny, or you're competing against other entertainment than just the music aspect.
That's
now,
so true.
Especially because of TikTok and the way that it's working, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's diluting a little bit of that authenticity of being like, I'm going to do a full-length album because I want people to dive in into the full-length album. Now it's like, no, you have to do that 15-second skit.
Mm-hmm.
That could work. If you're being defeatist, right? There's always
that's
the optimistic
so
part that you can still find your niche. Niche is being as more popular than ever, and vinyl is coming back. And there's hope. I'm not trying to be defeatist, but it's definitely a struggle. You need to pull between both realities.
Well, I think, you know, when everything first started, you know, with MySpace and then Facebook and then, you know, Twitter and then Instagram and now, you know, TikTok's more of a visual. right?
Correct.
Than Facebook is. Like, you're putting your music out there and you're telling people where they can get it and everything else. Instagram is kind of that way too. But, you know,
correct.
TikTok is like a totally different engine, you know, of entertainment, as you're talking about. Like, you got to put on a show.
Yeah.
And then be heard.
And you see the recipes sometimes. Sometimes you're a little bit frustrated towards yourself that the recipe they're using to track your attention in the first 1 second of the video before you slip to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it catches yourself. You're like, why? The second there's food, I have to keep watching it. And now they know. Now they know. I can't hide away from it. They just know how I... It's something else.
I know. It's just, you know, everybody's trying to navigate and learn. And I know a lot of the veteran artists are not used to doing the social media because they've had teams doing this. But when you're independent and, you know, because the studios haven't been working quite the same, you know, as they normally do, they are now. But like last year, there was a lot that everybody was doing from the home, and they've had to in order to put their music out there. And, you know, so it's really evolved, and it's going to evolve again. And so
well, my hope is that there's always going and it's either me being naive or dreamy or based off experience of what I'm analyzing with the way it's being consumed right now. But there's a part of me that's still hopeful that there's that 1% of artists that really, it's not just about doing good music and it's not just about being able to sing or whatnot, but they're able to do music that are just amazing and that really stands out from everybody else. When you see those artists go, they're not that desperate about social media. They use it to their advantage because they want to engage with their fans.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see them, and they might be hiding it well, but if I look at Ed Sheeran or Billie Eilish or, I don't know, whomever right now, like Justin Bieber, like if I look at their Instagrams or their TikTok, they make it seem like they're simply documenting their success that is based off the great music that they're making, not the other way around, where they're trying to seek our attention first and then send out the music message second, right?
Yeah.
And I still believe there's space for that. If you make amazing music first, then people are just going to be interested in knowing what you're doing in the sidelines.
Well, no matter what, when you're looking at history and you're looking at generation after generation, it's the lyrics, it's the authenticity of what you're writing, and it's about real life and what people can relate to. And I don't care about anything else. That's just all smoke and mirror. You know, when it comes down to the music, it always comes down to the lyrics, and it comes down to how you relate, you know, and connect to the audience when you're delivering it. And if people can believe that story that you're singing and believe the lyrics, stands the test of time. We always can point out exactly where we are, you know, when we hear a certain song going, I know exactly where I was, exactly what I was wearing, who I was with. And it's a snippet. It's a picture of time, you know,
we call it organic reach right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when it really, really reaches you, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. And you're such a deep thinker. I think you and I are both the same, you know, that way, because I really relate to lyrics, and, you know, it really means something to me. Like, if something moves me, I'm going to be bawling, you know, every time I hear it, it's going to take me a few times before I can talk about it, you know, kind of thing. If it moves me that much, it's just what music does for me. And
that's a gift, man.
But you've got that.
Yep.
Yeah. And I can tell, you know, when you're putting your music out, it means everything to you. Every single song means everything to you. And that's a gift in its own.
Yeah, it's a blessing and a curse.
Well, you can overthink things, right? You can,
exactly.
You know, push yourself, you know, and probably second guess yourself, you know, quite a bit. But as you said, it's not letting that happen and just believing in what you're writing in the moment and believe what you wrote it for.
Yeah, I try to stay courageous behind my vulnerability instead of hiding behind a wall, right? So, like, every time I've lived something in my life that, like, it not necessarily breaks me to the core. It can be something positive, right? It's just that I was in a period in my life where I'm very inspired by romance, and I was inspired by artists that would write about their love lives, and that inspired me to do the same thing when I first started. But nonetheless, it's the same principle. Is when something inspires you in a deep way that changes who you are as a person, you get to choose to either build walls around that new fact, or you can just be completely truthful and vulnerable, and you use your vulnerability as a way to communicate and a way to build your courage.
Yeah, right? Like when you release Let It Be.
Yeah.
Right? Like, tell everybody about that one, because that one's a very special song too. So it's not the one we're talking about today, but you know, I always gravitate back to that one because it is such an important song and an important part of your journey. So talk about that one.
I was in Paris working with new music with a friend of mine, a producer of mine there, and then the states were telling people that they were closing the borders. This was the first time, the beginning of COVID, and because they closed the border, we were like, well, Canada's gonna follow on that decision right after, because as they should and as they did. And so I had to pay a very expensive flight back home and quarantine for 2 weeks. And during that 2 weeks, I saw the whole world sort of, well, you've been there, like, we've all seen it. So that first 2 weeks was extremely awkward to watch. It felt extremely unreal, and it brought a lot of perspective in my life, because here I was being a singer-songwriter and putting all of my energy trying to control my fate into making music the center of my life, and then something that didn't affect just my career but that affected the whole world brought me back home without any possible way of doing anything. And my first instinct was, you know, I'm an overthinker for sometimes great reasons, sometimes bad ones, and it makes me a perfectionist in a way that every song that I want to drop out, I want it to be produced super professionally. I want it to be well thought out. I want hours to be put in because I want it to represent something that I'm proud of and perfect. But when I was in 2 weeks quarantine, I was like, but it's not about that. It's not about that anymore. Now it's just about finding a way to show support to other people. And I was like, I had never had the courage to release a song that I had produced myself.
Oh.
And I don't know why I didn't. Because it seems, because I knew how. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't have the courage to say, I'm not perfect at it, but I can put a bass drum and a bass and a guitar and my voice and make it sound pretty without sounding like it's worth $1 million, but that it means something. Mm-hmm. And Let It Be was that. It was about, I took a picture of a rainbow that was literally on the brick wall inside of my house, made it square, wrote Let It Be with 2 meter arrows to say everybody should be separated. Then I spent 3 days recording and producing and mixing it, sent it to my friend for a quick master, and then I sent it out. Like, within a week, it was done.
Nice.
And it got a few thousands of listens, and it just brought new perspective into my life.
Yeah, because, you know, it just had, you know, such a moving feel to it. You couldn't help, you know, but have the emotions and feel with that song. It was pretty
And
cool.
It wasn't about having the stats, and it wasn't about building the best strategy. It was just about being genuine to, like, you know what, I wanted to do that, I released it, and now it's in the world, right?
Yeah.
And that was pleasant.
It's funny because, you know, when we talk about trying to, you know, your creativity is your perfection, right?
Yeah.
And when you look at it that way, it's not bad. You know, to be, you know, a perfectionist, because you're striving for something and you'll know when you hit it, right? And it's just like, that's that creative artistry, you know, that flows through your blood, and it's just you're born with that, and you know, that's just an incredible gift. And it's just being able to hone in on what that is and being able to work with it and allow yourself to be free in that process. And
Amen.
I think that's the key. And I think that the silver lining for you, from what I'm hearing in your story, is that when life hits hard, right, we haven't had that in this generation. And this has just been a wall that none of us had ever seen. We've heard about it, you know, with our grandparents and our parents, but we haven't lived it. And this just hit on a scale that nobody would have imagined that we were going through, you know, with the technology and, you know, the healthcare that we had in place to see something of this magnitude, to bring everybody to their knees like that. It takes the life out of you. But at the same time, we always learn. No matter what, we always come through it. We always learn from it. And that's what you learned about yourself.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, it might have brought you to a place you may never have gotten to if that didn't happen.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, and if you're able to have that self-reflection or that empathy, you can actually realize that whatever we did live, and I'm talking about Canada mostly, the rest of the world might have had it a bit worse, but we can't complain that much.
No.
Like, if we get to compare to, like, the Second and First World War, like, this is not, or, like, famine, or, like, anyways, like, I don't need to name
it's
them
the
all, but you get the gist, right?
Like, yeah.
this was huge for us. And theoretically, we were spoiled through the whole thing because we're coming out of it pretty strong.
I know that
so far they might raise their taxes there at one point.
No doubt about that. We'll that's guarantee. Exactly. But you know, it's just having the perspective about what's going on in life and being able to work through it. You're going to have to navigate. You're going to have to come around. You know, you can fight it all you want, but you're eventually going to have to come around. So it's better now than later. And it's up to you to make that choice. And, you know, you decided to use that platform that you have and that gift that you have to be able to put that into words. And that's why people, you know, resonated with that one. You know, Let It Be was just a very special song that you released. So congratulations on that one.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad people enjoyed it.
What about Hypnotizing? Because you did that one too.
Yeah. Man, I wrote that a while ago. Hypnotizing. I was in awe and admiration with Ed Sheeran because I had chosen a path of folk pop when everybody else was going into EDM and electronic pop dance music, and I was starting to really feel small, telling myself that maybe folk music and traditional acoustic type pop music is going to die soon, and that I just chose the wrong era. And I was stressing quite a lot, and then Ed Sheeran showed up and I was like, fuck yes.
there's a person I'm
there's a person, and he's younger than me, so I was super jealous about it, but nonetheless I was extremely inspired the way that he would write music and keep traditional folk or singer-songwriter pop relevant in today's era. And I just had to dive into it. And I think you can hear it maybe a little bit too much, but I'm really unapologetic about it. Hypnotizing has a little bit of that Ed Sheeran-y pop thing. And it's about self-doubt and anxiety. And it was the first song. It wasn't about love, so I made it about something else. But I made it, and I had to self-produce a music video in Toronto as well with it. Anyways, I could dive into the details because you know how I overthink and I'm perfectionist behind the art, but Hypnotizing was about that. It was about trying to celebrate folk pop music.
And as I said, you did it very, very well. And, you know, to be able to navigate through that and be able to give some words to so many people, the lyrics, you know, to what people are going through. You know, it's really been perfect timing. What's happened isn't, but, you know, the music has really been the soul, the surviving soul, you know, for so many people. And I think that that's so important. And music is always going to be that. No matter what takes place, music's going to be what anchors people, right?
Even the AI music is not going to take away the soul.
Exactly. Now, talk about your brand new song that you released back in April. It's such a cool song. And, you know, I want to hear the story behind this one.
I had broken up with my ex a few years back. And it was something that was weighing on me quite a lot because it was sort of a relationship with an expiration date on it. So you don't want it to end, but it's going to have to end. And it broke my heart when I left her, and I was sort of very single at the moment, but my best friend introduced me to someone that I really, really, really liked, and I wanted to build a relationship with, but my past was still weighing on me, and it was keeping me from moving forward, and the song was a way for me to kick myself in the butt and tell me that, you know, it's not because you have baggage or you have, like in this song, I call it ghosts. It's not because you have things that are haunting you that you should stop trying to find something that you think is worth living. You know, if especially love. When it comes to love, it's such an untangible, fairy tale-y. You need to work for love. That's what the reality is.
But 100%.
But the need to find that partner and that roommate or the father or the mother of your future children, or there's something extremely universal in our life of trying to find that special someone, and we have to make sure that we stay positive and that we love ourselves enough to stay hopeful that we can find that person even after a breakup. And Let Go of My Ghost was about that.
Yeah, it's very cool because so many people that have broken up over the pandemic, and anybody, you know, it doesn't matter what age, you've always fallen in love, but so many people hold on to the bad. And instead of allowing yourself to say, you know what, it's okay to hurt. It's okay that it still hurts, you know, because you love that person. So when you're thinking about that time, you know, that love was very real. So it's a big part of your journey, your life's journey. And so you're always going to have those memories, but it's just being healthy enough to say what is good for you anymore and what isn't good for you anymore. And knowing that the healthiest thing to do is to release that, but be okay with it.
Yeah.
Inside, right? And that's a whole part of what that song's about.
I try to remember like what I'm proud of, not just about the relationship, but proud of the men I've become thanks to it. Because even through something extremely hard, it shapes your personality. And the more you grow older, well, hopefully you try and grow older as a person you love more and more, because you're building your confidence and you're building your self-worth, right? And so even if you go through a hard breakup, you can still, sometimes it's difficult to see your exes as an angel. Like often you want to go through that defense mechanism and say that was shit. But at the same time, it's good to tell yourself that you love the man you've become thanks to that person.
Exactly. It's like stepping up the ladder of your life. It doesn't mean that it was all that bad, but that's where people reach to because you're not with that person anymore. But, you know, in all fairness, you fell in love with that person for a reason. Right? And that's how you have to look at it. So very, very cool single. We're going to play that one right now. So the new single, Let Go of My Ghosts. And that is by my very special guest, Oliver Charles, right here on Music's Journey.
Thank you.
I just want to let go of my ghost. Yeah, I just want to let go of my ghost. I don't remember how I got here. I'm still feeling under pressure. I hide behind girls, then leave like I'm a perfect stranger. And I can't open up, I don't know how to trust, so I linger. I need a fresh start, fresh heart. Cause every time I fall, every time I care, it turns back around, about to end up in regret. How could this time be any different? Have I lost hope? I keep myself in check. I'm waiting for my turn, and I think you might be next. I'm just overthinking. I just wanna let go of my ghost. Yeah, I just wanna let go of my ghost. And I just know that when you hold me, I'm still feeling kinda lonely. Tell ya it's not your fault when I'm staring at the ceiling. Cause I'm stuck in the past, time goes fast, I'm still waiting. Waiting to see if this feeling is right. Cause every time I fall, every time I care, it turns back around, bound to end up in regret. How could this time be any different? And have I lost hope? In check, I'm waiting for my turn, and I think you might be next. Maybe I'm just overthinking. Can you wait for me? I gotta heal myself, love, and leave my worries behind. Yeah, I just wanna let go of my ghost. Cause every time I fall, every time I care, it turns back around, bound to end up in regret. How could this time be any different, friend? Have I lost hope? I keep myself in check. I'm waiting for my turn, and I think you might be next. Maybe I'm just old.
That is Oliver Charles and Let Go of My Ghost, brand new for him, singer-songwriter. And I got to say, I love the fact that there's always an eye on Oliver when he records at home. That is a pretty cool eye that you've got there.
Nice. Very, very nice. Now, for so many people, as I said, you can really relate to the song instantly. And, you know, when past relationships weigh on you and your optimism, right, that romance, that filtering through that process and allowing yourself to fall in love again, you know, is just a great message right now, because so many people have gone through so much loss. And, you know, it's unexpected. You know, a lot of people weren't expecting it. Somebody that they were really close to. But then, you know, being confined and going through this kind of life issue, this lockdown, everything that we were going through is not usual. You know, it's not what people go through on an everyday basis. So when those times come, being able to work with each other, you can't predict what your partner's going to do. You only can rely on yourself and what you're capable of. And I think if people stay grounded enough to say, hey, I did my best, that's all I can do. I can't control what anybody else does or what they think or what they're handling and what they won't handle. You know, you can't hold on to somebody or make somebody feel something. And, you know, they've just got to go through their own journey. It just wasn't meant to be. And, you know, so many people just need that message so that they can move on and, you know, find their self-love and find their empowerment again and walk through that and have the courage to love again.
Yeah, you're pretty woke, man. You get it.
Let's face it, like when it comes to the music that you're doing and what you're coming up with now, we're halfway through the year. Now, what does the future look like for you and where are you going?
Main focus is trying to figure out what's the best way to release this album, because the debut album is finished and COVID didn't help in the way of releasing it. So everything is mastered. We have two beautiful music videos for a few singles in there. So the next few months will be all about this album. And then, like you said, because of COVID and it slowed everything down, I've been writing a lot. I've been collaborating a lot. I've been producing more and more. And so I have a lot in the back burner right now, and I'm just a little impatient for what's coming up.
Is there any hint what might be coming up? Like when?
Oh, there's no when. I've lost the interest in trying to perceive the when. COVID did that to me. The second you try to control when things are going to happen, life gives you a reason not to make it happen that day. So all I'll say is the music is getting better and better and better, and I'm more confident as I'm moving forward. So I'm just excited to share it with people.
Well, I am excited for you, and I'm excited for the journey that you're on right now and the stage of the journey that you're on right now, because I absolutely adore you, and I think that you're a very, very special singer-songwriter. And
thank you.
We are very lucky in Canada to have you and representing Canadians here in the folk pop era, because it's just, as I said, it's just something that is always going to ground us. It's always there. It's in every kind of genre to begin with, except for like hard rocker, you know. But you know what I mean? Like the basis is always there. So when people always gravitate to an acoustic version of so many things, like so many songs that we absolutely love as we're growing up, the acoustic versions, when they come out, it just brings back that
nostalgia.
Yeah. And it's just, that's what I love about your music. Absolutely love it.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. I appreciate it.
Now, I'm hoping you're going to come back and you're going to talk about the next step for you and any new music that's coming, because I would love to have you back and talk about everything that's going on with you.
You've been my favorite. You're very, very easy to talk to, and we can elaborate in a very profound and nice way, and I'm definitely coming back.
Oh, awesome. Now, can I do a few questions with you? It's called Burning Questions. Sure. Portion of the interview. So it's just a little bit of fun so that we can get to know you just a little bit more.
Here. Do I have to go quick for these ones? Like I have two seconds to think?
Nope. You've got a few seconds to think, and you can take as much time as you like. Okay, so your very favorite song of all time, and why?
That's mean.
Sorry. I know, because you're a lyric guy, and that's why I want to hear the answer to this one.
That's really mean. Okay. that's really mean. I think it would be Tears in Heaven by Eric Clapton.
Oh, nice.
Either that or Always a Woman from Billy Joel. That would be like my wedding song.
Oh, Very cool answer. I am intrigued. I like this. Okay. What do you like to do to just unplug from the world?
I smoke weed and talk about the future of our society with my friends.
Okay. All right. Now, what is the best advice you've ever been given so far?
Trust your gut feeling.
Very cool. That's a good answer. Favorite song on the radio today?
Let me think. It changes every 2 weeks now. I love everything that Dua Lipa's. Like, I don't want to like Dua Lipa, but I love her to the core.
Can't miss
Because
you can't miss
every
it, can you?
man, you want to say this is a recipe. I don't want to like it, but it's so good. The bass lines and the this and that. So Dua Lipa is one. Anything that's Billie Eilish was amazing. Watermelon Sugar High is pretty dope.
Pretty cool. Yeah, that's cool.
There's too many. I'm very sorry. I answered with a thousand qu answers, but
Well, you know what? If anybody asked me that question, I'd have the same problem, you know, because
yeah.
my love of music, there's just too many people that have moved me. Okay.
It's overwhelming.
Exactly. All right. So, favorite character trait about yourself?
Good or kind.
I agree. I agree. That's one that you shine with, my friend.
Thank you.
Okay. What song or lyric that you can remember, if you can remember the phrase or part of the lyric, that makes you emotional? Which song was it and who was it by?
In the arms of an angel, far away from here.
Nice. Nice.
What's the song again? It's Sarah McLachlan, Angel. Yeah, every time that song comes in, I want to act like I've heard it a billion times and it doesn't affect me, but like water just pours and I'm like, boo, why?
Yeah, to see me the other night, I couldn't stop crying. I don't know if you've ever heard of Kaya.
Kaya?
She's
No, I have not.
14 years old, and it's called Speak Out. You gotta check it out.
Okay, wait, let me know loan it now. So Kaya and Speak Out.
Yeah, that's her single that's out. She's 14 years old,
Okay.
and she is the most moving young lady. And I was in tears. I was just
Wow.
a puddle of goo when I was watching that and her video. So it's Kaya. You're gonna love her.
All right, perfect. It's noted. Thank you.
Yeah, because she does so much in this world too, just like you do. Okay, so first concert you
Beautiful.
ever went to?
Well, music concert, obviously, right? I think Rufus Wainwright.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
Very cool.
he inspired me a lot at the beginning of my career.
What is your favorite thing to do when you want to have a special night? What song are you going to go to if you want to have a special night with your girlfriend? And you want to play some music and you want to get up and dance. What's the one you're going to pull?
It changes constantly, based off mood or the person that you're with. Naturally, the girlfriend I have right now would be a different thing. And it depends what the scenario is. If I'm in a bar and I'm dancing and we're a bit drunk and we want to have a moment, I'll put She's Always a Woman to Me from Billy Joel because we know it's going to be our wedding song. But if I'm in the car and I want to have a special moment with her, I'm just going to crank up some rock and roll and let her karaoke, and that'll be special for that. She'll be screaming some Bon Jovi next to me, and I'll be like, God, you know I love you, right? She's like, shh, this is my part.
Pour some sugar on me.
Favorite TV series or movie?
Friends.
Nice. Okay. Now, favorite concert you've been to? Favorite concert of all time?
Either Eric Clapton in the Bell Center, Josh Groban was also very pleasant. I went to Shawn Mendes. I thought I was a little bit too much in the minority of an older dude just trying to see what music was about. I was like, I sort of like Shawn Mendes. Maybe I should go and try and understand what he does right. And I show up and I'm like, ah, This is good. Awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that one. Your favorite moment with your dad with Father's Day coming up?
I actually have so many. There's so many. I don't know. It's my dad is my manager, but he's also the person that supported me the most throughout my career, right? So we have this sort of personal and professional relationship where I get to speak with him constantly. Mm-hmm. And my favorite moments are the small wins that we get together, even if they're in the grand scheme of things might seem insignificant. It's those moments that we get to cherish together, because a lot of the times we struggle to try and find how to make this work, and it's a hard industry to tackle in. And, mm-hmm. and my favorite moments are those, is when perseverance pays off and we get to share in an authentic and genuine way the happiness together. And it's an us thing. It's like my best friend thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I get to share that common interest with him. And those are probably the best moments.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Do you have a favorite home cooked meal that your mom ever made or your dad?
For my mom, she makes like a kick-ass corn soup.
I haven't had that in a long time.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm dating an Italian now.
Oh.
And we've been together for a while, and you really don't know about how it's true that they just really know how to do home cooked meals.
Oh, do they ever?
And my girlfriend has her passion is cooking as well, so like every day is like better than restaurant type food. I won't lie, I have to train more to make sure I can keep up with the food.
your home gym that you just got and everything else, you're going to be working on that thing like crazy with all that pasta.
Yeah, I bought a spinning bike for the occasion.
I saw that. Yeah. Now, you got to have a favorite dessert then, because Italians love their dessert.
Yeah, apple crumble cheesecake.
Mm. Not quite that Italian, though. But yeah,
no, but like not everything has to do about the girl, you know what I mean? Like you're allowed to have your individuality as well, you know.
Yep, preach on that one. I had to bite my own words from earlier. Okay, so what is a favorite Italian dessert that her family cooks that you've had? We got to give a shout out to the Nonna, right?
Yeah, I mean, she makes so many, like, she makes wedding cakes and stuff, so, she's, like, next level.
Wow.
And so, like, there's just too many. I like, she does, but I don't know the names, because I'm not Italian, but it's, like, a lemon cookie.
Oh, yes.
It's really good.
Oh, they're my favorites.
No, the best ones are the, cannolis.
What
is it called? Oh, no, those are so good. Oh, those are so good. And if you have pistachio ones, oh, man, you're going to town.
So when she's setting up a night for you, she knows what to put on the table.
You have no idea. It's charcuterie and cheese and then the spaghetti and the pizza and the this and the that and oh, my God.
What's your favorite pizza?
See what I said earlier? Like, it's not always about her. I will disrespect every Italian in this world and say Hawaiian pizza.
I knew it was going to come. I knew it.
Maybe it's because I'm blonde with blue eyes, but I just can't.
That boy.
It's good, man. I love Hawaiian pizza.
It's my favorite, too.
They hate me for it. They insult me every day for it. But,
yeah, they're going to call you mungy cake, right? So they're going to call you. I got called a mungy cake all the time. But,
really?
Yeah.
That's cute.
It's funny because most of my friends are Italian. And I should have been born Italian because I love Italian food. It's my favorite food. But I also like the Yorkshire pudding and, the English part of me, too. So the roast beef and Yorkshire pudding. But, yeah.
Nice.
Uh-huh. All right. Got one more question, and this one's just for fun. What is your most useless talent?
I can burp on command.
I was not expecting that. My deep friend over there, what can you burp? What can you say?
If I prepare it, I can say a sentence. No, I'm kidding. But it's just, it's the control of the putting air in your stomach and reverberating. Yeah, I'd say it's not. There's nothing pretty about it. but I can do it.
And you also can whistle too.
Yes, but is it useless to whistle?
No, it's not useless to whistle. I have to set you. I have to give a contest between Kyla Rollins and Oliver and see about the whistling contest. She's incredible. I'm telling you, when I'm listening to her whistles, it's like, hey, man, I could listen to that every single morning. She's got these beautiful bird calls. Yeah.
Wow. No, I don't have that. I can whistle, but I whistle with like a purpose, not with like a pleasure of creating with my whistle.
Right. I gotcha. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on Music's Journey, and I look forward to having you back, and congratulations on the single that's out right now, So Let Go of My Ghost. It's a very, very cool song, and I love your lyrics. I love your mind, your beautiful lyrical mind.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. You're very kind, and I'm looking forward to speaking again.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so thank you so much, and we will see you very soon, I hope, and just get in touch with me, and we'll gladly get you back on.
All right, have a good day.
You too. All right, bye-bye. Bye. Don't forget, you can download the new single, and it's called Let Go of My Ghost by my very special guest, Oliver Charles. So thank you so much for tuning into Music's Journey. Please do not forget, if you enjoy today's show, please consider leaving us a rating and a review. The more positive the review, the easier it is to find the show. And it really does help the community that we are trying to develop here. So if you're somebody new that who has recently found our podcast, we're really excited to have you. So please make sure that you subscribe and stay tuned to our future episodes. To everybody listening to today's podcast with Oliver Charles, please take a snapshot and post it to your Instagram story. And make sure you hashtag Oliver Charles and hashtag Music's Journey Podcast and Now and Then Magazine. And I will feature you on one of our podcasts that are coming up. So thank you so much again. I am Kim Sear. We love that you are welcoming us into your home and bringing us into your hearts and souls with the stories that we have with the artists that we talk to. So we're glad that you're enjoying it. We thank you so much. We appreciate each and every one of you. We have some great podcasts that are coming up for you. We have Stereos that are going to be here. We have Danny Doucette. We have Jason Blaine, Jamie Warren, Kaya, amazing 14-year-old, The Heels. We have Civilian. We've got so many that are coming up. You're going to love them. So we really hope you tune in, and thank you once again for tuning into Music's Journey. I am Kim Sear, your host for the show, and we love you, and thank you so much for sharing your day and welcoming us into your home. It means so much to us. Guys, stay safe out there, and we'll see you soon.
And a great big thank you once again to Oliver Charles for chatting with us today on Music's Journey. The Music's Journey podcast is brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com. You can listen to all our podcasts on Spotify, Google Podcast, Amazon Music, Player FM, TuneIn and Alexa, Deezer, and Podchaser. Our theme song is titled I Can Tell by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of your host, Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.